Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 4. The title of the sermon is No Room, and I don't know if this will be maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 start. I don't know. No Room is the title, and we'll label it No Room Part 1, because I don't know how far I'll get, because I started writing all kinds of notes, and I got to page 9. And when I got to page 9, I hadn't even got to what I really wanted to talk about. So it's just amazing what God does sometimes. But we're going to start here. Have you ever, in your whole entire life, do you ever do this where you're reading a book and it's so good that you read, turn to the last page, and ever read to see what's going to happen? You ever do that? No, I'm not going to do that. Carol, Pastor Carol, you do that? No, 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 no. She might stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning to find out what's going to happen, but she's going to get to the end of the story. Pastor Leo, sometimes I kind of have a tendency, if it's a really good book and I really know what that ending is, I go to the end of the page and I find out what's going to happen and see what's going to take place, and sometimes I will do that. And you know, it doesn't ruin the story for me. For some people, it may ruin the story, but it doesn't ruin the story. So I'm going to take you to the end, the total end of the book today. I'm going to take you to the end of the sermon, and we're going to start there, and then we're going to go backwards, okay? So turn with me to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11. And this is what it says, because this is where I wanted to go today. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11, it says that the devil left him. So you know at this point in time what we're talking about is the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. So he's been tempted of the devil, and we see here at the very end of the story, because I'm taking you to the end, it says, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Have you ever thought about that verse ever in your whole entire life? It's like, what were these angels doing? I mean, here I am going through all this persecution, I'm going through all this trial, I'm going through all this temptation, and I go through everything that I'm going to go through, and didn't the angels show up? Why didn't the angels show up in the very beginning to strengthen Jesus in what he was going through? And it makes you wonder, what were the angels doing? Were they in the back room drinking coffee and playing pitch, waiting until I got through this problem before they showed up? Have you ever felt that in your entire life, that you're going through something and it's like, God, where are you? Why am I going through this? Why am I going through this challenge that I'm facing? God, why don't you show up in this situation? Well, let me ask you this. Because the scripture points out to us that Jesus defeated the adversary. How? He defeated him by the word of God. He's asking us today, are you going to stay true to the word? Are you going to walk in the spirit of God? Are you going to stay true to that word, no matter whether you see it or not, that you believe it, that you know it's true, to believe it, to stand on it, to proclaim it, and to know that it's true for your life, and God's got this, and God's going to make it happen. So we see sometimes we do go through these challenges in life. But God knows right where you're at. We know that Romans 8:28, all things work together. Not good things, but sometimes bad things. But God is going to use them for our good. And he's working on our behalf at all times. You remember here in this scripture, if we go to Matthew chapter 4 and go back to verse 1. In verse 1, it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. Led how? Led by what? The Spirit of God. To be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And again the devil took him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. This passage of Scripture reveals so very, very clearly to us, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Now, we're going to leave Matthew many, many times in chapter 4. So I want you to mark it, because if you're in your Bible, we're always going to come back to it. So I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. So go with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. And what does it say? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The life of Jesus reveals to us over and over and over that his battle was not against flesh and blood, but against the forces of darkness. Saints, we must keep the faith and we must stay the course no matter what we're going through, no matter what we are experiencing. Let me ask you today, what is it that you're battling against right now? Let me mark this. What is it that you're battling against right now that has a spiritual dynamic that you're not looking at? Because everything has a spiritual dynamic to it. We can very simply say drugs has a spiritual dynamic to it. Lawlessness has a spiritual dynamic to it. You remember that when we looked at Luke chapter 4, why Jesus came? He came to set the captives free. He came to fulfill the will of God. He came to we would know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we would be brought back to a relationship with our Heavenly Father. He was not here, came here to get rid of the woes of the society, because if you would come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it would take care of the woes of society. Why? Because of the spiritual dynamic of not having a relationship with God and following the truth of the Scripture. So what is it in your life today, right now? I don't care what it is. What is it that you're battling in your life that has a spiritual dynamic that you're not looking at? For an example, if you're dealing with something that gives opportunity for you to hurt your witness or your testimony, then you had better be looking at the spiritual dynamic to that problem of what is taking place in your life. If you're getting ready to blow your mind at somebody, you're getting ready to get so mad at somebody that you're going to say things that you wish later on that you could take back, you better be looking at the spiritual dynamic that we need to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ, because every temptation, listen to me, every temptation that you face in life will have a spiritual dynamic that will be attached to it. Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness. That's where our battle is. So we need to always look, what is the spiritual dynamic to this? Will it be mentally or emotional or spiritually? Then look for Satan's footprint in that temptation that you're facing. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. So we're going to go back. You're in Ephesians. Go to Ephesians 4. We talked about this all morning today in CE. Look at verse 25. Ephesians 4 and verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Now let me stop right there. It's not just in anger, but in anything that you're doing, anything that you're involved in, that you do not give place for the adversary in that situation. He goes on to say, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking to be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. But looking specifically at Ephesians 4:27, in that battle that you're facing right now in your life, is there room for Satan to put his foot in there? In that battle, have you given Satan an opportunity for a foothold? And if we are not careful, a foothold becomes a stronghold. Later today, look at this list in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through 32 on your own time, and the opportunity that Satan can have in each and every one of them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. But saints, sometimes we act honestly pretty ignorant of what his devices are, because we fall to their traps. Satan loves to align his footsteps in your life with how we are feeling in the flesh. What he was in his temptation of Jesus, what was he doing? He was tempting him in the flesh. That's where he thought that he could trip Jesus up. Have you ever felt when you're mad, I'm going to tell them this, I'm going to tell them that? Of course we have. We've all been there. We've all done that. In that, is there a spiritual dynamic? Yes, because the Lord tells us to be imitators of him. Not of ourselves, not how our flesh wants to respond, but how would Jesus respond? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 I've always referred to as being the mechanics of sin. And you look at it today, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. And you're going to see just exactly how Jesus was tempted. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if you're just getting there, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, and this is what it says. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You can have all this if you fall down and you worship me. If you do this, this is what God's word will say. He will take care, he will have his angels charge over you. Satan tried to gain a foothold in Jesus' life through these three avenues. He did it with Eve, the same exact thing, and he fell, and so did Adam. Satan loves for you to think that you're doing or responding how you want to respond, when in reality, you have fallen into the trap of temptation. So that trap of temptation is not flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities that you're battling against, and all the time you think it's yourself. That's how Satan works. He appears as an angel of light. And you're doing what he wants. Wow, we are not going to get very far today in this. Excuse me, I'm choking up. In this message today, turn back with me to Matthew chapter 4 again then. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up to the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, but when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now save your place there. And I want you to go with me to Hebrews. So we're going to go back. We're going to go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, it says this, Hebrews 4, verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." I have a high priest that can understand everything that I am going through, because he himself was tempted in all points, tempted as we are. And the question is, so why Matthew 4 then? Jesus would be tempted over and over and over again. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. What does it say? It says, "And the devil left him. Behold, angels came and ministered to him. Departed from him until a more opportune time." The NLT says this, "He left him until the next opportunity came." Jesus would be tempted over and over. So save your place in Matthew and look at the same story in Luke chapter 4. I can't get over that. Luke chapter 4 and verse 13. Luke chapter 4. I know it's quite a bit of scripture, but it's worth it. Chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, "Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." And that's when I said the NLT says he left him until the next opportunity came. Jesus was tempted over and over and over and over again. Jesus would be tempted, but would never give room for Satan to accomplish being able to go to the cross without what? Without sin. But let's back up. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Satan loves to tempt, or when we have reached a lowest point in our life. So when you look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards what? He was hungry." And then that's when the adversary came. Satan loves to tempt us when we are at our weakest point. If you're stressed, get ready. If you're tired, get ready. If you're exhausted, get ready. If you're not working and you're not studied up in the Word, you're not staying in the Word, you're opening yourself up for temptation in your life. But also, let me tell you, it can be at a very high point in your life as well. But very spiritual, you may be very spiritually drained. And if it's a very high point in your life with the Lord Jesus and you're spiritually on a high, it can be also very spiritually draining when you come down from that. And when you come down from that, you open yourself up from attack from the adversary. You can have a wonderful day in the Lord and go home and at the same time be attacked in the afternoon by the adversary. He's the tempter. That's his job. When your patience has left you, that's when he loves to stick his foot in the door of your life. When you lost your patience, that's it, I'm done, I can't do any more. That's when Satan loves to put his foot in there. All of a sudden, you think in the flesh you're battling that person when you're actually battling a power and principality and a ruler of darkness is what you're dealing with. You need to overcome that, not in the flesh, but through the Spirit. Let me ask you, what is the renewal program that you have yourself on? Because everyone in this church needs to be on a spiritual renewal program every day of your life. Well, I don't have one. Why not? Well, I don't have time. And I say, you don't have time not to be involved in one. You need to have yourself involved where you're involved in the Word of God. You're involved in prayer. You have yourself in a place where you're sitting under the anointing of the Holy Spirit so He can renew you in the Spirit on a daily basis. Don't dust your Bible off on Sunday and then wait till the next Sunday and dust it back off and then wait till the next Sunday and dust it back off again and think that you can walk in the strength of the Lord, because you cannot. Pastor Leo cannot. I involve myself in prayer and worship and Bible study each and every day. It's a must. I have to. I can't go without it to stay spiritually strong. What won't happen? It won't happen if you do, if you're just dusting the dust off your Bible and coming to church on Sunday. You need to have that on a daily basis. Every day you're not involved in the Word, being renewed by His Word and His Spirit, it weakens your walk. All of a sudden we are giving room to Satan and don't even recognize it. We are not blind to the reality and the deceit of the adversary, but in so many times, in so many cases, we are. Because we're not looking at it in the terms and in the way that we should be looking at it. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. We're almost done for today. Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 verse 2. What does it say? It says, "And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So do you have a renewal program that's set up in your life? You say, "Well, I kind of do, and then I forget." It doesn't matter how many times you fall down. It's how many times you get back up and get back into the Word. Sometimes I've seen people, they'll start a yearly Bible reading program. On January 15th, they completely blow it. And you know what? They don't pick the Bible up till the next year. "Well, I blow it. I can't get caught up. That's not going to happen." Don't put yourself on that kind of a timetable. Just make sure that you're getting yourself involved in the Word of God. If you want to do a daily reading through the Bible every year, well, praise God for that. But if you fall down, get back up and get yourself back in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus defeated the adversary, how? By the Word of God. How are you going to defeat the adversary in your life? By the Word of God. It doesn't change. It's never going to change. We need to renew ourselves. How are we sanctified? We are sanctified by the Spirit, and we are sanctified by the Word. We are set apart. We are cleansed. Husband and wives, get yourself involved in the Word of God. Sometimes we have arguments that come up that should have never came up. And you know why they came up? Because of the flesh. If we would have been in the Word of God and in the sitting under the direction and leadership of the Spirit of God, that argument would have never happened. And you should all be saying amen to that, because it's the truth. Will you stand with me today? I'm sorry, today I kind of had a tickle in my voice, but I think more than anything, I think that Satan didn't want you to hear this message, and if it didn't flow very good, I apologize for that, but I don't think it's me. I think it's the adversary not wanting the message to flow out to you, because this is so critical in your own individual lives to strengthen you in your walk that you have with the Lord Jesus. And those are the categories they will always tempt us in: the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eye. Those categories, every time. He wants to attack you, and he wants to attack me. But we are strengthened in the Lord. We are strengthened in his might. We are going to stay the course, and God is going to bless us. Amen. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I pray that, Lord, your blessings would be upon these people that love you, your children today, Father. I pray that every family would be knitted together in strength as never knitted together before, that, Father, they will be strengthened, that they can face any obstacle, and they can walk it together as a husband and wife, as a family. And I pray for this church that, Father, no matter what Satan wants to throw up in our way, we bind it today. today in the name of Jesus. We're going to walk forth in victory. The victory is ours. We have read the end of the book. We know that we are the ones that will be glorified, and we give you all praise, honor, and glory today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.